So in this week's parasha, we, of course, see a repetition this week and next week, a repetition of so many of the things that we saw in Parshiot Truma and Tetzaveh. And I wasn't going to go into now some of the differences in order, the differences in the way Shabbat is presented and when it's presented. And so I really wanted to use the opportunity then to focus on one component of the Mishkan that is mentioned in this week's Parsha and in Truma. And I do that, as you'll see, it's related in Yanei Dioma, as you'll see pretty soon. So in this week's Parsha, we are, in addition to the entire, of the actual building of the Mishkan, as opposed to the Tzivui that we saw in Truma and Tetzaveh, and now we're beginning to build a Mishkan. And part of the Mishkan's construction includes, of course, the Aron Kodesh. And in the Aron Kodesh, I printed the Psukim from Parshat Truma, and I printed the Psukim from Parshat Vayakel, and on top of the Kodesh, on top of the Aron Kodesh, were the Kruvim. And there are so many interesting pieces, components of the Mishkan Mikdash. There are so many challenging pieces of the Beit HaMikdash. How do we understand parts of it? But this is one of the more, in my mind, one of the more challenging portions, challenging sections of the construction of the Mikdash, and we'll see why. So if you just take a look really at the underlined parts, we'll read Parshat Truma, and it's really very similar to Parshat Vayakel, but you'll see why I'm focusing on Truma. So in addition to the Aron, you have to make a kaporet, a cover, and the cover then has, in Pasuk Yudchet, V'yasita shnayim kruvim zahav mikshata seotam mishnei ktzot kaporet. On the two edges of the cover, you're going to make from one huge piece of gold. I saw recently an article by a professor at Bar-Ilan University who was trying to figure out how much just the Kruvim weighed, and they came up with it was so miraculous that it was something in the range of a pound, 2,000 pounds of gold, of just the Kruvim themselves. Just a huge, looking at the dimensions, a huge chunk of gold. And they have to, and they're in the shape of two kruvim, these two angels. V'asei kruv echad mikatzah mizeh, u'kruv echad mikatzah mizeh, min ha-kaporet ha-asu ota kruvim al shnei ktzotav. They're connected to the kaporet, they're part of the kaporet. One is on one side, one is on the other. I'm reading in Chaf Hei, in Truma. V'hayu pasuk Chaf, ha-kruvim porsei chnafayim lema'ala. They have wings that are stretching outward, upward, so chachim b'chanfehem ala kaporet, and they cover the kaporet with their wings. Ufnehem isha lachiv ela kaporet yu pnei akruvim. They are looking at each other, and they're looking towards the kaporet. They're looking at each other. I'm skipping. Well, you could say chaf aleph. Anatata te kaporet al haron milmala v'el haron titen et ha'idut asher etein elecha. The luchot and the shivei luchot and other things go inside the aron, and then chaf bet v'no'adti lecha sham v'dibarti itcha me'al ha'kaporet mi'bein shnei ha'kruvim asher al aron ha'idut et kol asher atzaveh utcha al b'nei Yisrael. And the same very similar psukim that come in Vayakel, we have a really fascinating idea. We have these angel-like, malach-like figures that face each other, wings, in the middle of the Beit HaMikdash. Now, we are familiar with the Gemara, which notes the following contradiction. We just read in Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chaf, that Ufnehem Isha Lachiv. We just read that the two Kruvim face each other, and everyone is familiar with the contradiction in Divrei Hayamim. It's the third source down. The third source, Vayachel Shlomo livnot et Beit Hashem b'Yerushalayim b'Hara Moriah, asher nira le David avihu, asher hichin b'mkom David b'goren Arnan ha-Yevusi. Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash. It's described in a few places in Tanakh. It's also described in Divrei HaYamim Bet. And there it says, and I'm just going to skip all the way to Yud Gimel, Kanfei HaKruvim HaEle Porsim Amot Esrim V'heim Omdim Al Raglehem Ufnehem Labait. That's a contradiction. We said in the Torah that the Pnehem Isha Lachiv, and yet here in Divrei HaYamim, the Navi says that they were facing Ufnehem Labait. Now Bait in the context of that Perek means the Heichal, the Kodesh. They're not facing each other, they're facing away from each other to face the Heichal. And so the Gemara says, it's the fourth source down, Baba Batra Daf Taritet, Pnehem Isha Lachiv, Haktiv Ufnehem Labait. How can you say that their faces are towards each other when in Divrei HaYamim it says, Pnehem Labait? Lo Kasha, no Kasha. And again, you know this. You're familiar with this. Lo kashya, that's not a problem whatsoever. Why not? Kan bizman she Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom. Kan bizman she ein Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom. Beautiful Devar Torah, that the Kruvim, when Bnei Yisrael are doing the proper thing, when they care about each other, then, the two Kruvim are looking at each other. It's a miracle. And yet, Chas v'Shalom, when they're not looking at each other, or when Bnei Yisrael are not doing the proper thing, the faces are apart, are away from each other, looking instead to the Kodesh. So our first question, although it could be our first or second, our first question is, why would this be? Why would Hashem choose that? The Kruvim, the angels, the children, the boy, the girl, the man, the woman, why would Bnei Yisrael be judged? And I should say the measure will be through the Kruvim. Why don't we use another siman like we do on Yom Kippur? For example, the siman of the white thread or the red thread turning white. Why specifically the Kruvim in that shape, in the Mikdash, in the Kodesh Kodashim that no one really sees, although we'll see in a minute that people do see it. Why would that be the symbol of Bnei Yisrael's Achdut? Question number two is a question that is more fundamental in my mind, and I would repeat the psukim. I repeated the psukim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears, and so to speak, and speaks to Moshe, so to speak, through the Kruvim. And the question is, why? Why would Hashem choose to contact Bnei Yisrael through the Kruvim, especially? And this is really the guts of the question. It seems so wrong, of all places, to have, and I'm not saying Chalila, but it seems like this is where, it's Avodah Zarah. Statues, and those of you who've been to Machon HaMikdash, it's a little shocking to see pictures of angels and wings and boy and girl. It's bad enough to see it in a museum, it's bad enough to see it in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Kodesh. In the Kodesh HaKodashim? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose there? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose there? And as a matter of fact, it's really not just me who asked this question. Let's take a look at the Gemara in Masechet Yuma Daf Nun Dalet. It's toward the bottom of the first page. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Katina, Bisha'a Shayu Yisrael Olin LaRegel. Whenever Bnei Yisrael used to, the Gemara tells us that there's many kelim that were brought out so that the public could see them. And what about the Kodesh HaKodeshim? Amar Rav Katina b'sha'ashayu Yisrael olim laregel megalalin lahem et haparochet umarin lahem et hakruvim. When Bnei Yisrael used to come to the Beit HaMikdash for Shalosh Regalim, it was an experience. It wasn't just sending in a check. It was an experience. And you were there, and you spoke to people, and you heard the sounds, and you smelled the smells, and you stayed overnight, and you talked, and what was it like, and what did you experience? And what did you see? Oh, did you see? Yeah, when the Kohen Gadol, yeah, I saw that. Well, what also did you see? They would roll away, they would roll up the parochet. And Bnei Yisrael, every person in Bnei Yisrael was able to see all the way into the Kodesh HaKodashim. It raises questions, by the way. I thought we're not allowed to see the Kodesh HaKodashim. I'm not going to focus on that now. It is a good question. It's a question that Machon HaMikdash has asked about whether we can have webcams in the Mikdash. The Mikdash is being built tonight, tomorrow, and webcams are a thing of the present, and we need to know if I can see my korban being brought with webcams. The beautiful question. And the Machon HaMikdash quotes this Gemara as one of the things to think about. But anyway, we're talking about something else now. So they would come to the Beit HaMikdash, they would roll open the parochet, and what would you see? The kruvim. But what would you see? I'm going to read it again. Megalali lahem et haparochet, umarin lahem et hakruvim, shehayu me'urim ze baze. The kruvim were hugging each other. Ve'omrim lahen re'u chibatchem lifnei hamakom, kechibat zachar v'nekeva. You would see the guy and the girl hugging in the Kodesh HaKodashim. And you would say, you know what? Hashem loves you. Just like the love of a man for a woman. And look at Rashi. Medubakim zebazeh. They clung to each other. Ve'ochazin. They held on to each other. U'mechabkin zezeh. And they hugged each other. Kizachar hachovek et hanakeva. And our question is, this is in the Mikdash? This is in the Kodesh HaKodashim? This is private stuff. And this is the way I want to say that Hashem loves you and He's going to show you this. It's a miracle. No question about it. It's a nace. When things are going badly, they're looking apart away from each other. When things are going well, they look at each other. And Hashem Shagalim, to instill within you a recognition that God loves you, He's going to show you a picture of people hugging? And it's mind-boggling. So much so, I put it as another source, but it's really a continuation of the Gemara. It's Yuma Daphne Dalamud Bet. I'm a Reish Lakish. Bisha'ash and Nichnasu Nachrim Lahechal. When it came time, Rachman al Itzlan, for the Churban, and the Nachrim, the non-Jews, came into the Hechal. Ra'u Kruvim Hamu'urim Zebazeh. They saw the Kruvim hugging each other. Hotsi'un Lashuk. So they would take these kruvim and they took them out to the street. They took them out to the street. V'amru Yisrael halalu shebirchatan bracha. Look at these B'nai Yisrael. The powerful B'nai Yisrael. Anybody they bless is a blessing. V'kilulatan klalan. Anyone who they curse is a curse. Look how powerful they are. And yet, ya'asku b'dverim halalu. This is what they're dealing with. This is silliness. They made fun of it. Miyad hizilum, from the word zol. They made fun. They derided Klal Yisrael, the great B'nai Yisrael, building the great Mikdash. Look at this. This is what they have in their Kodesh HaKodashim, and that is what it says. Shene'emar in Eicha kol mechabadeha hiziluha kira'u ervata. All of the people who used to honor B'nai Yisrael, recognize B'nai Yisrael, they really cheapened B'nai Yisrael because they saw Ervata, they saw the Erva of B'nai Yisrael. What's the Erva? The Erva was of the Kruvim hugging each other like a man and a woman. That's what we want. So we've got major questions on the Kruvim, both in Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebal Peh. Why would we have these images? They don't exist anywhere else in the Mikdash. And where do they exist? In the Kodesh HaKodashim. Number two, that's where Hashem chose to speak. In that particular place, that's the worst place to speak, it seems to us. And number three and four, perhaps, the idea of the Kruvim. Why would Hashem have them hug each other? And why? The third/fourth question is that Nachrim seem to be right. This is not a place for this kind of thing. There's a time and place for everything, and this is not the place for that. Public doesn't seem to make sense. If you turn your page over, the Rambam. I never know whether I should bring the Moreh Nevuchim in English or in Hebrew. It was not written in English or in Hebrew. So I wasn't sure which one to print this time. It was a little bit of a big keta. I didn't want to focus too much on this. So I did do it in English. There is a translation, a very good translation, that was written in 1904 by Dr. Friedlander. So I'm just going to read. This is in Mor Nevuchim Chelek Gimel Memhei. And I'm going to read it quickly. And the Rambam addresses some of our concerns. It is clear that the belief in the existence of angels is connected with the belief in the existence of God Himself. And the belief in God and angels leads to the belief in prophecy and in the truth of the law. There's a connection. I believe in the existence of malachim, certain bodies, celestial beings. I believe in God. And I believe in Nevi'im. In order, line 3, in order to firmly establish this creed, God commanded B'nai Israel to make over the ark the form of two angels. The belief in the existence of angels is thus inculcated into the minds of the people. And this belief is in importance next to the belief in God's existence. It leads us to believe in prophecy and in the law, in the Torah, and oppose idolatry. The Rambam says it's the exact opposite. The reason why we have the Kruvim is not to, God forbid, look like idolatry. The opposite. It opposes Avodah Zarah. Middle of line 6. If there had been only one figure of a cherub, the people would have been misled and would have mistaken it for God's image, which was to be worshipped in the fashion of the heathen. Or they may have assumed that the angel represented by the figure was also a deity and would have thus have adopted a dualism. There's God and there's another God, Chas v'Shalom. By making two kruvim and distinctly declaring, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Moshe clearly proclaimed the theory of the existence of a number of angels. He left no room for the error of considering those figures as deities, since he declared that God is one, and that he is the creator of the angels, who are more than one. Says Rav, the Rambam, answering partially, precisely in the Kodesh HaKodashim, we had to make a connection. Malachim, and he goes through in this whole Memhei, he goes through why Malachim are so crucial, the belief in Malachim, and the belief in God running the world. So I need to have Malachim, I need to believe in God, I need to believe in the Torah, I need to believe in Nevi'im, and it's these images that actually help me, not hurt me. They help me because there's not one angel, there's two. And I see two, oh, that can't be God. I already said, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Oh, they must be Malachim. And I believe in Malachim. And not only are there Malachim, there's also Nevi'im. Not only Nevi'im, there's also Moshe. Moshe's the greatest Navi. The greatest Navi brought the Torah. Oh, he brought the Torah. There's a Torah I believe in. And it's this domino effect, says the Rambam, that begins with the Kruvim. And so, yes, when you open up the Parochet, I see the two Kruvim hugging each other. And it helps me understand a belief in Malachim, in Torah, Nevi'im, and God. What the Rambam here does not explain is still this idea of the hugging, this idea of Kizachar, HaChoveket and Nekeva, the fact that there's this physical love going on here that's supposed to inspire me. The Rambam does not explain. And I wanted to share with you another idea. And this idea comes from Rav Kook. Rav Kook in his Sefer called Orot HaKodesh. Rav Kook, in order to answer our question, he says we need to take a step back. And the step back is, what indeed is the Kodesh HaKodeshim? What does it mean, Kodesh HaKodeshim? I have Kodesh, and I have Chol. But how can you be more Kodesh than Kodesh? You're super Kodesh? Well, Kodesh is already Kodesh. Oh, there's holy, and in English we call it the Holy of Holies. Oh, it's the holy part of the holy. What does that mean? We say it all the time. We look at the Kodesh HaKodeshim. We study the Kodesh HaKodeshim. We read about it on Yom Kippur. And it seems to be a concept which is hard for us to understand. Either you're Kadosh, or you're not Kadosh. Either you're Chol, or you're not Chol. What does Kodesh HaKodeshim mean? And once we know what it means, we'll get a better understanding, perhaps, of what the Kruvim are doing there and why they would be acting, so to speak, in such a fashion. Let's take a look at Rav Kook's answer. Very brief. the Arot HaKodesh, much of the Sefer is written in little snippets. I shouldn't say. A lot of it is. And says Rav Kook, we have it here. This is the entire Ketah. This is the entire Perek Yud Zayin. Yesh Olam Shel Chol, VeOlam Shel Kodesh. There is a world of Chol. There's food, and there's drink, and there's money, and there's physical pleasure, and there's an Olam Shel Kodesh, Torah, and davening. Olamim Shel Chol, VeOlamim Shel Kodesh. There is not only a world of Chol, there are worlds of Chol, and there are worlds of Kodesh. Ha'olamim sotrim zeh zeh. These two worlds contradict each other. You can't have it. You can't have both. Either you're Kodesh or you're Chol. But, says Rav Kook, as you could imagine, kamuvan, obviously, hastirahi subjektivit. The stira between Kodesh and Chol is actually subjective. It is not objective. It does not come from the goof, from the essence, from the mahut of Kodesh or Chol. It is only subjective because of the way we view these two worlds. Ha'adam, says Rav Kook, person, people, man, bahasagato ha'mitzumtzemet, with his limited understanding, Eino yachol lefasher bein ha-kodesh uvein ha-chol. Humans are not able lefasher. Fasher is a great word. Don't write this down yet. What does pshara mean? A compromise. You're also learning hilchot. A compromise is a little of your opinion, a little of my opinion. Don't write that down yet. What's mayim pushrim? You're learning hilchot Shabbat. I think we would call it lukewarm water or room temperature. A little hot and a little cold. It's very hard for people to merge, to combine, to bring together Kodesh and Chol. Man can't do that. We don't do that. We look at a shul, oh, that's Kodesh. We look at a muffin, oh, that's Chol. But the truth is, that's not true. But we do that because we categorize things. We're not able to really lefasher ben a Kodesh ben a Chol. Ve'eino, a human, Eino yachol lahashvot et stirotehen, and a person is not able to really balance out between the contradictions. Vehein, but they, omnam yushavot, birum olam. But in the lofty parts of the world, in the heavens, they are absolutely miyushavot. They are absolutely understood as being the same thing. And where does that happen? B'machon Kodesh HaKodeshim. Says Rav Kook, the one place on this planet, the one place on this earth where it's obvious and simple that Kodesh and Chol, it's not Kodesh. Is a muffin Kodesh? Is a muffin Chol? I don't know. It depends on what you do with it. Is a Beit Knesset Kodesh? Oh, of course. Oh, really? And sometimes the way certain shuls, Rachmana Litzlan, are treated, the way people, I don't know, talk, and Lashon Hara, and Sichat Batela, and barely davening, is that really so Kodesh? And as an office where you make money so whole, maybe that's their shears going on there, maybe you're working honestly in business, Natata v'nasata v'natata be'amuna, maybe there's Kodesh there. It's very hard to see. We can see them sometimes. We have to work at it, though. Where's the easiest place to work to see that? That's called Kodesh HaKodeshim. There's Kodesh, and there's Chol. But yes, there is a Kodesh HaKodeshim in the place where these two ideas are merged. That explains, for example, why the Ktoret was brought every single day in the Kodesh, and on Yom Kippur, in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. The Ktoret, as you know, had 11 spices in it. One of them was the Chelbana. The Chelbana was a foul-smelling spice, and it was put in the Ktoret. Beautiful smell. It became beautiful. It says Rashi, it reminds us of, we have to bring in our Rishayim And tzaddikim alone can't daven. Right? That last week's parsha. Tzaddikim are not the only ones who daven for a fast or whatever it is, or tefillah in general. Any tefillah that doesn't include rishayim is no tefillah. The chelmana, the foul smelling, it's foul smelling. And yeah, bring it into the Torah though. And there's no such thing really. We look at the people as individuals. We look at the people as who they are. And we need very hard, in a very challenging way to distinguish between the person's actions and the person's and the person themselves. Rav Shlomo Volbe says that the only person who was allowed to hate a Russia, in his words, is an Adam Gadol. Most of us can't do that because we're too busy merging. Oh, you're a bad person because you do bad things. Wait a second. You're an amazing person, and sometimes you do bad things. That's a whole different outlook, and only an Adam Gadol can really distinguish between them and then say, I hate the Russia, because I really, really only hate the acts. That's Ktoret is where those are merged. Ktoret, liktor means to burn. It also, kitur, comes from the word kishur, where there is a merging. There's a merging of the two. What is the bracha for someone who brings Ktoret? Wealth. Wealth is another example. Money. Is money bad? Oh, it's terrible. Money! Money's bad. Or money's good. Money is a tool. There's so much gold. I get this question all the time. There's so much gold, gold. We just said 2,000 pounds on the Kruvim alone. Why do you have so much gold? Why couldn't the Beit HaMikdash be a simple place? So the answer is you're right. In our world, we're supposed to be simple. But in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim specifically, that's where these two worlds merge. I can see clearly that money itself is not terrible. Money's a kli. And I can see them put together. Perhaps that's an example why. Take a look at the next source. That's perhaps why the Gemara tells us. That's exactly what the Gemara tells us in Masechet Yuma Daf Yud Chet. Via Kohen HaGadol Me'achav Pasakin Emor. That the Kohen Gadol has to be Sheyehe Gadol Me'achav B'Koach B'Noi B'Chochma Ube Osher. Why does the Kohen Gadol have to be stronger than his colleagues, more handsome than his colleagues, more wise than his colleagues? Wise, I can understand. Wealthy. The Gemara says that if he didn't have any money, he was given money. He was given money, so you could be rich. Why? Again, because he, the Kohen Gadol, who brings the Ktoret at the base of the Aron. He's the one who best is able to show us that there's really no such thing as Kodesh and Chol. It's subjective. It's what you do with it and how I use it. The world is all good. Objectively speaking, it's all good. The way God created the world is all good. We just have to understand how to use it properly. That also perhaps explains, there is a little bit of a tangent, but you'll take a look at the Gemara in Brachot Nun Zayin Amud Bet. The Gemara says, "Ktiv vayomer Hashem la shnei goyim bevitnech." This is by Rivka Imenu. She gets a nevuah that there's two nations, but it doesn't say nations. Al tikrei goyim ela geyim. Two huge people. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Elu Antoninus v'Rebbe. Antoninus v'Rebbe. The greatest tzaddik of his generation and the greatest Russia in his generation. Who, by the way, were friends. And what were they? Shelo pasak mishulchanam lo tznon velo chazeret velo kishuin lo bimot hachama velo bimot hageshamim. 2 millennia before the refrigerator is invented, Rebbe is so rich that he's able to have fruits and vegetables at his table all year round. A strawberry all year round? An orange all year round? Only very, very wealthy people. So Rebbe was exceedingly wealthy. The Gemara says, I didn't quote it here, the Gemara quotes that Rebbe was so rich, he was so wealthy, that the stable boy who cleaned the manure from Rebbe's horses was richer than the king of Persia. That, because he had such work to do. He was rich, he had to be paid so handsomely. That's how rich Rebbe was. Why am I telling you wealth? Because look at the next Gemara. Masechet Ketuvot, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. Bishat Ptirato Shel Rebbe. Rebbe, wealthy, wealthy. This is the Bill Gates of the Torah world. He had chachma, he had wealth. And what did he say? Bishat p'tirato shel Rebbe, zakaf eser etzbaotav klapei mala. He stuck his 10 fingers out to the sky as he's dying. Amar, he said, Ribono shel olam, galui v'yadua lifanecha shiagati be'eser etzbaotai b'torah. I worked with these fingers. I'm talking to God. I'm about to meet him. And I'm promising, you know that I worked only with these hands in Torah. V'lo neheneti afilu be'etzbaktana. I didn't get hana. What do you mean you didn't get hana? You had all the muffins you could eat, you had all the fruit you could eat, you had all the money, everything, all the horses, all the land, all the property. And what does he say? Yehi ratzon milfanecha sheyehi shalom bimnuchati. I hope there's peace. I hope there's completion, wholeness in my death. Yatzdabat kol v'yamra yavo shalom yanuchu al mishkavotechem. Yanuchu al mishkavotam. The Gemara wants to know why it says mishkavotam and not mishkavcha. The angels accompanied him. How could Rebbe, really honestly, with a straight face, say lo neheneti ba'olam hazeh? How could he say that? What are you talking about? He had all the physical pleasures someone could imagine within the realm of Torah. And the answer is, because someone who reaches that level, someone who reaches the Kodesh HaKodeshim level, understands why I'm having strawberries all year round, understands why I'm having pineapple all year round, understands why I have so many horses, understands why I own so many buildings. That kind of merging, it's not a bad thing, it's not a good thing. But when I rise myself up to such a madriga with real intensity, I can see that there's no such thing as good or bad. Everything is kodesh, everything is available. There's no such thing as evil. And this brings us back to our question. Our questions were, why would we have the kruvim in the Kodesh HaKodeshim? And perhaps we can say that once we are in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, where everything is sacred, where everything expresses Kedusha, even the love between a man and a woman is an expression of God's presence in the world and His love for Bnei Yisrael. In Torah, there are no curse words. In Torah, there are no topics that are off limits. In Torah, there are no topics that are taboo. As long as we are in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, everything falls under the rubric of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yes, we need, as humans, to appreciate that there's no such thing as negative, no such thing as bad. It's only how we view it. Can you act badly? 1,000%. Can you use God's world badly? We see it all day long. No, we don't see it all day long. We see ma'asim b'chol yom outside of here. We see people make mistakes. But don't for a second think that God created good and bad. God created things that I can use. This, the non-Jews don't understand. This, the non-Jews can make fun of when the Beit HaMikdash, Rachman al-Tzlan, is being destroyed. To them, Kedusha is indeed the opposite of Olam Hazeh, of Olam Habav Kedusha. The holiest person doesn't get married. The holiest person doesn't own property. The holiest person is not involved in this world. And who are our holiest people? They get involved in the world. They don't run away from the world. They're involved in the world. They get married. They have families. They raise families, and they raise beautiful future by merging and understanding in a world not only of Kedusha, in a world of Kodesh HaKodeshim. That's behind the gold, that's behind the kruvim, that's behind the hugging. And look at this, Shir HaShirim Rabbah, the second to last source on the page. Shir HaShirim Rabbah, you know this already. Taninan. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Chas v'Shalom lo nechlak adam echad miYisrael al Shir HaShirim shelo titzmat hayadayim. He says, no, there's no machloket. It's a machloket about whether Shir HaShirim should be considered one of the books of Tanakh. And he says, Chas v'Shalom, everyone says it is. Here's the underlying quote: She'ein kol ha'olam kulo kedai ki yom shenitna bo Shir HaShirim. Lama? She'kol ha'ktuvim kodesh v'zeh. Here's our words: Kodesh HaKodeshim.
Shir HaShirim is Kodesh HaKodeshim. Shir HaShirim is Kodesh HaKodeshim. What are you talking about? You ever read a direct translation of Shir HaShirim? It's really hard to read in mixed company. Man, woman, descriptions of body parts and love, and so much so that there is a famous Jewish publishing house. When they first translated Tanakh, the entire Shir HaShirim was translated in the Nimshal. They didn't translate it, you know, with all the body parts that you read there and all the... They translated it as if it was a translation, the Nimshal. And they explained why they felt that that was important to do. There was a huge uproar, and I believe they pulled back on that since. You can understand where they're coming from. It really is... it's powerful to read. It's steamy. Unless you say it's Kodesh HaKodeshim, then it's the holiest book there is. It allows me, as a human, to finally understand and appreciate what it means that God loves me. Love is... what does it mean, love? It's such a hard word to understand. And God, I never saw him. And what is he? It's hard. I understand. I saw the Kruvim hugging each other. Oh, that's what you mean. It's not Kodesh. It's Kodesh HaKodeshim. Once it's Kodesh HaKodeshim, I understand that there can be this love, this combination, this hugging. And that's exactly what the Medrash tells us at the very bottom in Bamidbar Rabbah. Bamidbar Rabbah, Asabo Shnei Kruvim, in the Mikdash, in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, on the Aron, they made the Shnei Kruvim. Shehem Chavivim Keneged Shamayim V'aretz. Oh, that makes sense. There's Shamayim and there's Aretz. Those are not two different points. They're merged. Chavivim Keneged Shamayim V'aretz Shaya Bahem Moshavo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does God sit, so to speak? In the Kruvim. In the merge of Shamayim V'aretz. Kach Hashchina Netuna L'ma'ala Mibet Kruvim Shenetunin Mizeh Umizeh. That is exactly why the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, in quotes, sits himself there. Sure, that's the merging. You want to have a merging of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and... no, merging, but you want to have the intersection, you want to have the confrontation between God, who is so Kadosh, Ata Kadosh, Shimcha Kadosh, I can't relate to you. No, he comes down, his Shekhinah comes down, he talks to me, he talks to you, he talks to the Kohen Gadol, he talks to Moshe Rabbeinu, Mibein Shnei HaKruvim. The very symbol of that merging of Shamayim V'aretz, that symbol that Zachar Nekeva in another culture is X-rated. And in Torah we say there's no such thing. You speak about it in a Kodesh HaKodeshim sort of way, you understand that there's no such thing really as dirty, as evil, as cursing, as what taboo. Everything is... we embrace literally and figuratively everything that this world has to offer, assuming it's done in a kadosh way, assuming the Torah allows for it, assuming that I've used my intellect and my emotions and my heart to really understand it. I'm not saying now to go out and all the physical pleasures in the world. Of course not. That's not Torah either. But to recognize that there are that the world out there is not objectively bad or good, and that everywhere I turn is the opportunity to come closer to God, or chas v'shalom, the opposite. That's an opportunity that the Maaseh Yesharim describes when he talks about that I, as a holy Jew, sees every person, every food, every experience. Does this come make me closer, or does this make me farther from God? And if it's something that makes me closer to God, I run to it and embrace it. And that is the life of a growth-filled Jew. May we all be Zocha. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.